Will you pray with me? One sec. Father God, I thank you for the words that you've shared with me to share here today. We ask that the thoughts of our minds and the meditations of our heart would be pleasing and glorious in your sight. In your name we pray. Amen. So across from my apartment, out the view of my bedroom window, is a community center. It looks like a church because it was a church. It was sold to the community, and they turned it into a community center, and now a church still meets there. My roommates attend there and other things. So it wasn't too strange Thursday morning when I saw people moving around in the side yard of this community center, moving, uncovering tarps and pulling out some bricks and some other components of it from the side yard. It wasn't until they brought out the propane that I really took interest, and I started to watch with intent to see what was going on, and they assembled a line from the propane into the bricks they'd assembled and put a ceramic cylinder, concrete cylinder over the top of it that they assembled into boredom as they heated up the fire, and I decided to check the internet for any clues so I could pay less attention. And on the community calendar page for the community center, was a pottery classes on Tuesdays and Saturdays, and it made sense that they were making a kiln. Any other time I wouldn't have noticed this, but I had in mind a particular passage to share with you, actually from Jeremiah on working in the potter's hands. And so maybe if there was something I had in mind on flowers, I would have noticed all of the beautiful flowers. I can't say that I didn't. But the passage I have to share with you guys today comes from Jeremiah chapter 18. So I'll ask you to listen along as I read it. Unfortunately, I don't have it up for the screen. At the potter's house, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted and torn down and destroyed, if that nation I warned repents, will I not relent and inflict on it? I will not inflict the disease that I had planned. If at another time the nation announces that the kingdom is to be built up, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I intended to do for it. This image from Jeremiah carries on through the rest of chapter 18 and chapter 19. But for this particular passage, it pairs so nicely, so amazingly, are God's words with the image he's trying to convey. And I don't know which stands out to you more, the words of that he will do for those who turn back to him, that he will always do for them the good that he can. And for those that don't turn from him, that he will reconsider the good. The message here isn't even that he will necessarily punish you. It's that he will reconsider it. For this is the gracious God that we even see Jonah interact with, to where he runs from his graciousness. In particular, though, I do want to focus on this image of the hands of the potter. And what it takes to be a pot. There was not time, and I wouldn't even want to from here go into a theological dissertation on the pot has no control and you have no control and therefore let God be God. For we have mouths like pots actually have mouths at the top, but the pot doesn't talk back, and we do get to talk with our God. And so what it takes to be like the pot, though, is to trust in those transforming hands. And this, that we see the hands in our passage describing what they are doing with the pot, that they're constantly considering and touching and making and molding the pot. And there's an incredible message there that we all understand, but it's still a little distant, unless maybe you've attended a pottery class from one of the community centers around here. So instead, I would invite you to consider some other ways to consider the hands that work on us. One of them is food preparation. Every week and every month here, we make food for each other. And week in and week out, we make food for those around us. And this is something of a testament to faith, that we trust each other to prepare food for each other, that we trust each other to prepare food that we can each celebrate in it. No matter how much or how little you've brought, that the hands are there to work for everyone to benefit from, that they can transform all of us. or possibly a little closer to home, is Jeff's knee. Whenever we trust anyone with our medical, to do medical work on us, Jeff has to trust that the surgeon is going to alter his knee correctly and know what he's doing. That in working on Jeff's knee, Jeff has to trust that the surgeon himself knows what the knee should be like, and that if he sees anything when he goes in there, that he's going to be able to transform it and fix it. This takes incredible trust and incredible faith. But part of the process of being transformed in this renewal, though, especially in terms of POTS, one thing that's missing from our passage that even magnifies our God is when you're working with pottery, you have to keep re-wetting the pot. It keeps drying out a little bit, and so these hands keep adding water back onto it to make sure that the pot is capable of being worked on and capable of being manipulated. And we see this same power come to us from Christ, from what our God has given us, the most significant thing that lets us draw to Him and be transformed, the person who we most aspire to be like. This malleability that Christ gives us is also communicated in other ways in the Bible. There's the passage in Malachi that talks about the refiner's fire, and how the refiner's fire purifies silver and gold. And we see in all of this, though, we see Christ at work. We see that He removes our blemishes and our impurities, that after going through that fire, we come through on the other side transformed. One of the times in my life that I've had this most clearly communicated was when I went through a breakup in college. A friend went out on a walk with me, and in something that I said, he turned on me and encouraged me that although it's tempting to pull back and pull away, especially in times of loss, in times of relationships transforming, that whenever you cling to God, when you cling to the one whose hands you know you can trust, that He will transform you, that you can see at those times He pulls out the most stuff, He makes you the most pure, and then keeps forming and making you into something that is good and good for His purposes and good for His use. To close out here, though, I want to give you one possibly even closer thing, because the food comes once a month, the medical needs come as they come. But one of the other most clear signs that I've seen in the past month here, which is, I guess, yearly and not monthly, but is the Ukrainian eggs that we get to work on. With the Ukrainian eggs, you start to put wax over the course of these eggs and dip them in dyes, and it starts looking more like a photo negative than an actual thing you would want to put on a shelf. And it isn't until you put it into the fire to watch the wax drip away that you can actually see what was in the eye of the hands, what was in the eye of the artist for what they were really trying to make and really transform, that they want to show off and show the world.